Can't go wrong with that song, huh? Thank you for picking my song today, honey. Sometimes I just don't have time to pick a song, but she always picks the right ones. Amen? All right. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? Good morning, Amazing Grace. Good to see all your wonderful faces this morning. Let us pray. Lord, we just give this day to you, Father. We give this message to you, and we thank you, Lord, for the guidance, for the blessings, for the everything you give us each and every day that we need so badly in this world today, Father. We just lift up all those that are struggling. We thank you for all the victories, and we praise you for your word that guides us and saves us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. My sermon title today, Preaching the Truth in Antioch. We're going to be talking about another Antioch. Remember I told you there was 14 of them, okay? So we're traveling to our second Antioch. But here we go. John MacArthur said that many churches today are filled to overflowing, with those who want their ears tickled with the myths of easy believism, if that's a real word, and so-called positive thinking. They come to have their egos fed and their sins approved, not to have their hearts cleansed and their souls saved. They only want to feel good, not to be made good. Tragically, such myths serve to religiously insulate people from the true gospel and drive them still further from the Lord. Amen? And that's a lot of churches today. There's a lot of churches out there that just want, you know, people go to just so they can feel good. Amen? But, and so the people in the synagogues that Paul is going to be preaching at in today's text, they were insulating themselves as well. Amen? They were insulating themselves from the gospel with their Old Testament regulations and rules. Okay? So their rules that they thought were helping them were actually blocking their relationship. So Paul was there to bring them a new message. Okay? He's there to bring them a new message that wasn't going to tickle their ears, but it was going to give them the opportunity to save their souls. Amen? Amen? And that's what it's all about. Amen? And I'll talk more about it later, but every word of God, whether it's Old Testament or New Testament, all words of God lead to Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? They all lead to Jesus. So, Paul, Barnabas, and John Mark were ready to leave this island of Cyprus that we preached about last week. Amen? They're done on Cyprus. They're getting ready to leave. And our first verse says that from Paphos, where they were at, Paul and his companions sailed to Perga in Pamphylia. That's the Italian way to say it, okay? Pamphylia, where John left them to return to Jerusalem, okay? Where John left them to return to Jerusalem. So now we see two very important events in this first verse, okay? First off, it says Paul and his companions. Paul and his companions. So what happened to Barnabas and Saul, right? Just last week we were talking about Barnabas and Saul. Now it's Paul and his companions. Remember last week I told you it was probably Barnabas' idea to go to Cyprus because that's where he was from. Amen? And then I said that Paul probably told him, well, you know, you're the leader for now, so we'll go ahead and go where you want to go, right? Right? And so he said, okay, well, the time has come for Saul, okay, to become Paul. He's going to become the leader. He's going to be the one telling them where we're going next. Amen? All in God's time, right? All in God's time. So it says they sailed to Perga in Pamphylia, which today is modern-day Turkey. Okay? Just to give you an idea, I put a map out. So here's where they were at in Cyprus, Paphos, right? And they traveled up here to Perga, okay? So they're traveling to the mainland there. And it says that John Mark, right, who wrote the book of Mark, we talked about that last week, he would leave them and return to Jerusalem where he had come from. And, you know, John Mark, he was the cousin, okay, of Barnabas, all right? So So he had gone with Barnabas and Saul to spread the gospel. He was going with his cousin to help preach and spread the gospel. And remember, I told you he had been a witness, an actual witness to Jesus Christ, and he was going to be a great addition to their mission, right? So that's what he did. But we don't know why once they reached Perga that he went back home. He would leave and go back home. And it doesn't really say why, but, you know, John Mark was also considered a pastor, okay? All of them really were. A pastor, a teacher, and, of course, an evangelist. They were out being evangelists, amen? So, you know, not easy jobs, okay? Not easy jobs to have, especially today. You know, maybe, or back then, I guess it was pretty hard, too, for them, right? But, you know, maybe he was burnt out, maybe he was underpaid, unappreciated, or struggled with depression or discouragement. We don't know, but it wasn't an easy job for them. Amen? And these are some of the same symptoms that pastors today deal with. Amen? Pastors today got to deal with all these things of being unappreciated, struggling, depression. I'm not saying about me, but there's a lot of pastors out there, okay? They deal with all these things, amen? They deal with all these things, and these are some of the symptoms that we deal with, but I got some statistics for you guys, too. Oh, I put them up there already, huh? 90% of pastors feel that they're inadequately trained to cope with ministry demands, and I had a big old list of everything pastors do, but I didn't want to put that up there, but a lot of times we feel inadequately trained to do all these different things. Amen? It's like 500 jobs in one, okay? 70% of pastors fight depression. I thank God I'm not one of them. 50% of pastors feel so discouraged that they would quit if they could. And what that means is a lot of pastors, that's the only education they have, and they just don't know what else to do, so they stick with it. Amen? 70% do not have someone they consider a close friend. And I can believe that. They probably don't have time to have close friends. 50% of ministers will not last 5 years. Yeah. I'm in year number three right now, so hold on. 1 out of every 10, this was the worst one, the shocking one for me. 1 out of every 10 ministers will actually retire a minister. 10%, right? The other 90%, they end up doing something else, I guess. I don't know. But so these are some statistics. You know, the statistics speak for themselves, and maybe they spoke for John Mark's reason to leave this mission and go home. Amen? Maybe he was burnt out. We don't know. But Paul was later said to have considered his actions as desertion, right? Paul got upset. He would look at it as desertion, and he would not let him accompany them again. Later on, you're going to see in chapter 15 that was going to, you know, he was going to want Barnabas was going to want him to come back with them to go on continue on their mission, Paul was going to tell him no. Paul's going to say, no, John Mark deserted us. I don't want him back. And then so they would fight and they would split up too. But we'll talk more about that in chapter 15. Amen? But there's always going to be issues between believers and leaders in the church. Amen? There's always going to be issues. We're human, right? We're human and we have to, we have to agree to disagree sometimes. Amen? We have to agree to disagree sometimes. We're human, right? None of us are perfect. Amen? But when we have those disagreements, the test is, how do we react to them? How do the leaders in the church react to these disagreements? You know, what would Jesus do, right? Once again, here we go. What would Jesus do? Or what would Jesus expect us to do, right? How are we going to react to it? But what I do know is that we're called to be the light in this dark world. I know that for a fact. Amen? We're called to be the light in this dark world. And that's what I try to be every day. I try to be the light. You know, let us all be the light in this world. Amen? Because this world needs a lot more light in it. That's for sure. Praise God. So that's all of our jobs. Amen? Verse 14 says that from Perga, okay, they went to Pisidian Antioch. So they're already on the mainland here in Perga, and they're going to travel up here to Antioch, okay? And we're going to talk about this Antioch here. A couple weeks ago, remember we first talked about the city of Antioch, right? And how there were many cities named Antioch. Well, they didn't go back to the cradle of Christianity, right? They didn't go back to the other Antioch. This was a new Antioch, okay? And this was another city named Antioch, and it was going to be on the border of, I don't have it on this map, but Galatia is like right here, okay? So it's on the border of Galatia. And yeah, that's the same Galatia that Paul's going to write to. Amen? In the New Testament. Same Galatians. Some may say he may have even started writing it while he was there. Okay? But this is the same Galatia. And by the way, Galatia is not a city. It's kind of a region. Amen? So a lot of the books he wrote were to cities. But Galatia is not really a city. So it says they came to Antioch, and on the Sabbath they entered the synagogue and innocently sat down. Okay? Innocently sat down. They didn't want any trouble. They're just sitting down, just visiting, right? And then verse 15 says, after the reading from the law and the prophets, like they did in the synagogues, the leaders of the synagogue sent word to them saying, brothers, if you have a word of exhortation for the people, please speak. Amen. And that's what they would do to guest rabbis, and they would let them speak. And an exhortation is kind of like a address that you give to someone, urging them to do something, right? Kind of leading people. Amen. So Paul probably looked at them and said, oh, you talking to us? Right? Who, us? Right? Like they hadn't done this 10 or 15 times already, right? Amen. And in wasting no time, Paul starts to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Praise God, that's right. And unlike me, he preaches his message in a matter of a few minutes, okay? Or at least that's how much Luke writes about it, amen? So, but I guess when you're as good as Paul at preaching, you get your point across a lot quicker, amen? And so in 20 years, I should have my sermons down to about 15 minutes. Yeah, right. You get the point though, okay? So here comes the first recorded sermon. I know it's a lot of verses, but most of it is Paul's sermon, okay? So it goes pretty quick through the verses. So, but here comes the first recorded sermon by Paul the Apostle, okay? Here we go. So Paul, standing up, Paul motioned with his hand and he said, fellow Israelites and you Gentiles who worship God, listen to me. The God of the people of Israel chose our ancestors. He made the people prosper during their stay in Egypt. With mighty power, he led them out of that country. For 40 years, he endured their conduct, put up with them, in the wilderness. And he overthrew seven nations in Canaan, giving their land to his people as their inheritance. All of this took about 450 years, God's time. Amen. After this, God gave them judges until the time of Samuel the prophet. Then the people asked for a king, and he gave them Saul. By the way, who Paul was named after, okay? Saul. And also, he was from Benjamin, and so was Saul. So Saul, the son of Kish, they gave him for a king, okay, of the tribe of Benjamin, who ruled 40 years. After removing Saul, he made David their king. God testified concerning him. He said, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. I added, and some. verse 23, from this man's descendants, God has brought to Israel the Savior Jesus, as he promised. Praise God, right? So that's the message. That's the message that we should all want to hear. Amen? So first he gets up, motioning his hand, right? He says, Israelites and Gentiles who worship God. So that covered everybody in the building, pretty much, okay? He made it clear that he was speaking to everyone because they were about to hear about the God of Israel, okay? They thought they had been speaking about him all this time, and they had, but they were about to get a little more than they signed up for, okay? They were going to get a little bit more than they signed up for. So he gives his brief yet brilliant summation of the history of Israel. Okay, that's his sermon. In a sermon, he preaches about the forefathers and their time in Israel. Okay, he talks about their slavery in Egypt. He talks about the Exodus. He talks about the 40 years in the wilderness, wandering in the wilderness. He talks about the conquest of Canaan. He talks about giving them Saul for a king. And then he comes all the way to King David. Amen? All the way to King David, where he says in verse 23, "From this man's descendants, God has brought to Israel the Savior Jesus as he promised." And I think right about then you could hear a pin drop in there. Amen? And so not because of the history lesson, they were used to that. They called it historical retrospection. That's what they did in the synagogue. That was their readings, right? They read all these Old Testament scriptures. They would rehearse their own history, if you will. And that was what Paul was doing, right? He's doing the same thing. He's rehearsing history, but the difference was Paul was rehearsing the gospel. Amen. Paul was rehearsing the gospel. This was supposed to be a time to encourage others about what God has done and is still going to do. Only things were going to change now, okay? And you know as well as I do, a lot of times our human nature doesn't like change, right? And this was to be a new covenant message, whether they liked it or not. And the Jews, they weren't going to be happy about it, right? They didn't like change. They wanted to stick to their Old Testament ways, the old covenant. Amen. And so the point was that all of this history that they were reciting every day in their synagogues, it was all lead up to Jesus. Remember, I talked about that. Everything led up to Jesus. They thought they were just talking about God, but everything led up to the Savior, and especially led up to the cross. Amen. Because it was God's plan all along. The Bible was God's plan all. Jesus was God's plan all along. The same God that they sacrificed to and worshiped had brought them salvation, but they were too blind to see it. They were too blind and too angry to see it. Amen? So it kind of reminds me of most people today, right? I'm not saying in the church, but in the world, right? Most people today. You know, too blind to see the saving grace of Jesus Christ daily in our lives, right? And that's why it's up to us as Christians, just like it was up to Paul and Barnabas, to spread the gospel of salvation everywhere we're at. Amen? We talk about this all the time, everywhere we go. But by today's standards, everywhere we post, right? Spread the gospel. Amen? Social media, whatever we're doing. Spread the gospel every chance you get. We're called to remind people, yeah, that's right, that life's not just a series of random events, amen, and evolution. Life is God-breathed, and through Jesus Christ, God is guiding and influencing all of us. We just have to receive it and believe it. Amen? We're all His creation. He's doing that for all of us. And next, He starts to preach about John the Baptist. Amen? About John the Baptist, or as Paul calls him here, John. Okay, he just calls him John. He doesn't even say John the Baptist. He says, "Before the coming of Jesus, John preached repentance and baptism to all the people of Israel. And as John was completing his work, he said, 'Who do you suppose I am? I am not the one you are looking for, but there is one coming after me whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. Fellow children of Abraham and God-fearing Gentiles, it is to us that this message of salvation has been sent. The people of Jerusalem and their rulers did not recognize Jesus. Yet in condemning him, they fulfilled the words of the prophets that are read every Sabbath." Right? "Though they found no proper ground for a death sentence, they asked Pilate to have him executed. And when they had carried out all that was written about him, they took him down from the cross and laid him in a tomb." Now notice before he starts to talk more about Jesus, first he mentions John the Baptist, right? First he mentions John the Baptist. And he just calls him John, okay? Because even as far as Galatia, all these people had heard about John the Baptist. Amen? He was kind of like a superstar at that time, or that already, I should say. And, you know, there may not have been TV coverage or social media, right? But the word had spread far and wide about this John the Baptist. They knew who John the Baptist was and the message that he preached. So that same message of salvation that would lead to Jesus Christ, John was preaching too. Just like every Old Testament oration that they had given in the synagogues for years and years, every message of God leads to Jesus Christ, right? And he's just reminding them of that, okay? Paul told them that Jesus was the same Messiah that John the Baptist had told them to get ready for. Same one. They knew the message, they just didn't understand it. Amen? Then in verse 27, it says that the people and the rulers of whom were probably there did not recognize Jesus, yet in condemning Jesus, they fulfilled the words of the prophets that they so loved to quote in their synagogues. Right? They thought they were what? But God. Amen? But God. Regardless of their hate or whatever they were going to do, their disbelief or unbelief, but God. Amen? Once again, what the world meant for evil, God meant for good. Amen. Right? And his good purpose, right? What the world meant for evil, God meant for good. They would have had Jesus executed just as the prophet Isaiah spoke of, right? In chapter 53, verses 3 through 5. Prophet Isaiah spoke of this. He said, he was despised and rejected, talking about Jesus, amen, by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain, like one from whom people hide their faces. He was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took upon our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. Amen? Amen. Amen. By his wounds we are healed. It was amazing grace, okay? It was amazing grace. He was executed for us, okay? And he was laid in a tomb. And then in verse 29, I want to read you guys from King James, okay? In verse 29, it says, "And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher. Amen? Which just means they took him down from the cross, right, and laid him in the tomb, okay? That's King James Version, all right? Notice it says they took him down from the tree, okay, and laid him in the tomb. Now, the reason Paul said tree, okay, instead of cross in the original text is because he was being symbolic, okay? He was being symbolic of the scriptures, that they were reading in the synagogues all the time. Amen? They were reading those scriptures, and they would be familiar with that tree reference, okay? And so in in Deuteronomy 21, 22, okay, here we go again with the King James. 21, 22 says, "And if a man had committed a sin worthy of death, and he be to be put to death, and thou hang him on a tree." Right? So they were reading about it all the time and didn't even know it. Amen? And now remember, Paul is in Galatia, and later in his writings to the Galatians, Paul would also say, okay, in Galatians 3:13, "But Christ has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law. When he was hung on a cross, he took it upon himself, the curse for our wrongdoing. For it is written in the scriptures, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree." Right? Cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. He was cursed for our transgressions. Amen? For us. The perfect Son of God was cursed for us. Then verse 30 says, but God raised him from the dead. God raised him from, but God. There it is again, right? But God. Seems to be a theme in the book of Acts here, right? Praise God for that. Today too. Definitely in our lives and the lives of so many who live for Christ. We say this all the time, but God. Amen? But God. Human beings created by God turned against God, okay? Human beings created by God turned against God, but God. Human beings turned against His only Son, but God. Human beings hung Him on a tree, but God. But God. They murdered Jesus, but God raised Him from the dead. We can try our hardest, okay, to screw things up in this life. Amen? And we do. We do. But God still has plans for our lives, right? We can be in a 20-year drug addiction, but God. Amen? We can be serve 10 years in prison. Amen? But God. We can think that because of all the things we've done, there's no hope. But God can change us. God can change us all, and He does. Man has done its worst to destroy the Savior, but God raised Him from the dead. Praise God. And then verse 31 going on says, and for many days He was seen by those who traveled with Him from Galilee to Jerusalem. They are now His witnesses to our people. We tell you the good news, what God promised our ancestors. Notice that Paul's focusing on things that actually happened, right? He's preaching to them in things that already that had happened. It wasn't just theology, okay? Sort of like the illustrations that I use in my sermons, right? I tell these true stories to lead into the message, right? And actually, you know, every verse that we preach on is a true story. Amen? But it's just so we can relate to it, right? So we can relate. And that's what Paul was doing. He's trying to relate because this is a true story. Amen? All of it is a true story, right? Boyce said that Christianity is not a philosophy or a set of ethics, though it involves these things. Essentially, Christianity is a proclamation of facts that concern what God has already done. Right? That's what it is. It's just us being reminded of what God's already done. Amen? It's a true story. He is risen. All right, you got it, you got it. Did you get it? Come on. That was an inside joke from yesterday, but we had a great time at the men's breakfast. Amen. Verse 33, then he says, He has fulfilled for us, their children, by raising up Jesus. As it is written in the second Psalm, You are my son. Today I have become your father. And so it is also stated elsewhere, you will not let your Holy One see decay. The resurrection of Jesus, that resurrection of Jesus that he was preaching about, okay? All of them, it was for all of them, okay? That resurrection was for all of them, but it's also for us today. Amen? It's for us. This message is for us today. It wasn't just another great event in history. This was the resurrection. Amen? This was all pointing to the resurrection, and it has great meaning and eternal purpose for us all, then and now. Okay? That's what it's all about, eternal life. Amen? And this work of the cross was going to be wonderfully accepted by many who believed then and now. Confirmed by these quoted Old Testament passages that were spoken by King David himself, right? These messages from the Psalms, okay? And then we're going to see here, if you want to look on your bulletin, verse 36, it says that once David had served God's purpose as a great prophet and even as a man after his own heart, that he was going to die and not decay, right? But in verse 37, we see that Jesus would rise from the dead and never see decay, right? He's going to rise from the dead and never see decay. He was going to be, remember we talked about this before, resurrected, not resuscitated, right? Remember the difference? To be resurrected means that you come back to life but never die again. Amen? And to be resuscitated, of course, we're going to die again. But Jesus would never die again. Amen? And then our last verses, verse 38. Says, therefore, my friends, I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. Through Him, amen. Through Him, everyone who believes is set free from every sin. Woohoo! A justification you were not able to obtain under the law of Moses. Take care that what the prophets have said does not happen to you. Look, you scoffers, wonder and perish, for I am going to do to you something in your days that you would never believe, even if someone told you. Right? Even if somebody told you. Talk about no fluff. Amen? No fluff, Paul. Here we go. Paul was saying that to this crowd of Jews and Gentiles, you know, imagine what he was saying, right? The first part's pretty good, okay? They like that, right? It's salvation for everyone, right? He tells them that because of what Jesus did, they can be saved too. So they're on board with that. He says, this is a true story, and you too can have the forgiveness of sins. That's a great promise. That's an easy message, right? That all their sins can be forgiven. This was a message that all of us believers, whether we're believers or not, could understand. Amen? That we could all understand the forgiveness of sins. Oh, but some of us don't want to talk about sins, right? Right? Amen? You see, our sins are our guilt before God, right? They're our guilt before God and man. And we're all aware of our sins. Amen? We're all aware that we sin. Nobody in their right mind can claim that they don't know that they were sinning. All right? We know when we're sinning. Amen? We know. God lets us know. And believers are not, okay? Believers are not. We know when we're sinning. In your heart and in your soul, you know when you're sinning. And we cannot receive salvation from those sins until we confess and accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Amen? None of us, all right? None of us. We can all be saved, but we all have to give our lives to Christ. Amen? We cannot be saved by good works. Talked about that yesterday. Or by being the nicest guy in the neighborhood. That's not going to work either. Amen? And only by Jesus Christ, not by works, the Bible says, so that none may boast. Amen? Only through Jesus Christ. All of our sins were placed upon our Savior on that tree over 2,000 years ago. Amen? And it's a free gift from a good, good Father. Free gift from a great Father. We could never justify ourselves before God. That's why He gave His only begotten Son. We could never do it ourselves. But you must believe. Amen? You must believe. Verse 39 says that everyone who believes is set free from every sin. I love that. It says we are justified through Christ because He could never keep the law of Moses. Amen? We could never keep the law of Moses. Paul knew it, they knew it, and we know it. Amen? We know we can never keep the commandments, right? He has given them the good news of Jesus Christ. But then in verse 40 and 41, He gives them the truth. All right? Here it comes. They got the good news. Now they're going to get the no-fluff truth, okay? He says, take care that what the prophets have said does not happen to you, which is this verse from Habakkuk, okay? That was and is a reminder that when God holds out His precious gift of salvation and forgiveness, you better receive it. Amen? God's going to hold it out to you, but you got to take it. You got to receive it. Amen? And all of us, okay? All of us. We got to receive it because if we don't, that's a heavy guilt. Amen? If we don't receive it, that's a heavy guilt, and we're all going to be judged, believers or not. You've seen the commercials, right? Believers or not, we're all going to be judged, no matter the religion, the denomination, or amount of good works you put in, you're going to be judged. And guess what? Now you've all been told, okay? Amen? No turning back, amen? You've all been told. This is a warning, okay? This is a warning that if we don't receive this free gift, He says, the scoffers, you will be scoffers who will perish, right? If we don't receive that free gift, we're going to perish. This scripture from Habakkuk was a warning of the judgment that was going to come upon Jerusalem. That was the original warning, okay? Paul was saying to everyone in that synagogue that if they refuse this gift, free gift of the cross, just like Jerusalem did, and God's people of the ancient world were judged, they too could be judged. Okay? And it's the same for us. Amen? We have to receive that free gift because we're all going to be judged. So what does that mean? You know, these were hard words to preach and receive. Okay? They were hard words to preach then, and they're hard words to preach today. Not for me, but I guess for people to receive. Amen? But what's not hard, okay, is receiving Christ into your heart. It's not hard. When you make that decision, it's not a hard thing to do. Amen? We confess it with your mouth, and you believe it in your heart, and you will be saved. Amen? So we're going to see later in this chapter that people did receive it well, and they would ask Paul and Barnabas to speak further about it. Amen? And speak further about this free gift at the next Sabbath, next week. They said, can you come back next week? Amen? And tell us more about this free gift, right? Can you come back next week? And that's exactly what they would do. And that's what we're going to preach about or hear about next week. And almost the whole city was going to gather to hear the message. I wish the whole city would gather to hear the message today. Amen? But but, you know, I guess in a sense, you know, a lot of people do, and they're not all here, but thank God for everyone that's receiving that message today all over the world. Amen? And, so Paul says, I'm going to offer you this opportunity, and I want to say that same thing to you guys today. Amen? I want to offer you this opportunity to receive this free gift of salvation, even if you already have, and I know most of you, if not all of you already have, but I'm going to offer you the same thing today. If you believe in your heart, profess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, you will be saved. Amen? So I got a new sinner's prayer for us here. This is a prayer of salvation, okay? We're all going to say this prayer together. Here we go. You guys ready? Can you read it? Can you see it okay? All right. 1, 2, 3. Heavenly Father, I realize that I am a sinner and have broken your laws. I understand that my sins separated me from you. I am sorry and I ask you to forgive me. I accept the fact that your Son, Jesus Christ, died for me, was resurrected, and is alive today, and hears my prayers. I now open my heart's door and invite Jesus in to become my Lord and my Savior. I give him control and ask that he would rule and reign in my heart so that his perfect will would be accomplished in my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. All right.